Mr. Cameron, Reel 10. We were talking about you just occupied some farmhouse buildings up on Jimano, some buildings on Jimano Village. Yeah. And you said that Frank Johnson had taken over.
I had met Frank and he was my platoon commander in A Company. And I don't remember the circumstances much, but of course it was nice being with Frank again.
How did he react when he saw, when he first met again? Because you'd been...
We were chatting together, we managed to get to one side and have a good chat together, you know, and he said, you're okay with me, aren't you, you know? And sexy said, yeah, said, just as well, at least I know someone I can talk to, you know, which suited him as well.
He didn't mind that you'd known him when he wasn't an officer?
Oh, no, that didn't affect at all. Of course, we didn't make a thing of it, and I didn't chat up to say the lad is a mate of mine or anything, you know, I just kept quiet about it.
So what happened then next? You were occupying these buildings.
I remember one particular battle patrol went out. Frank took I don't know really what we were supposed to do, except that we had to go and clear this farmhouse. But we moved out.
Where was the farmhouse from?
Down in the dip towards the jelly.
So over the hill?
We were on one hill, jelly was on the other hill, and jelly must also have been down in the valley as well.
Were you properly briefed at all?
No. It never seemed to happen. It just used to say we're patrolling out and. Well, I don't remember what was said about anything about. Just we're patrolling out. You take your section. And I remember Frank saying it would help if you gave defensive fire on this stretch here, this little pathway, like a farm track, you know, on the bottom of the jelly here.
Now, was this you and your Bren guns?
No, this is my section.
You were back. Were you back in the as section commander again?
Yeah, section commander, and I'm my own lance corporal and a corporal in charge of the brand. We moved out that night and went the roundabout way and came along this farm track between our positions in Jimano and the Jerry's positions on the hilltop. Well, they would say there was a big black cross on there. It was quiet. So I told my lancers, right, line up here, get the brain down there. Frank had already said, now, you'll hear us move in to that farmhouse, which was right in the dip. The day there was a lot of cracks and bangs went off, and you could hear 36 grenades exploding. I said, fire on the farmhouse. We start firing on the farmhouse. And then the pretty machine gun fire behind us, spando fire, came at us. And we were on the track. They must have fixed lines somewhere on the hill. So I rolled back over. It was only about a foot high on the path against the hill. Never saw where the other lads went. Of course, everybody dispersed. Luckily, nobody was hit. But anyway, I lay there for quite a while. And the Tommy gun hugged in on me. And the bullets hitting along the track, you know, of spandau bullets. I could practically see them, the splashes of dirt, for long and long enough. And then when they stopped, I lay there. No idea where the rest of the platoon was or anything. I lay there quite a while, away myself, and it was all quiet, so I picked up and went back the way I had come. I'd never been briefed which way to do, whether to follow Frank or not, but in any case, I couldn't, because I didn't know what to follow him with. I didn't know which way he'd gone, so I went back the way I had come, and I got back, and I got back on my own, and myself, my section's still there. Where the other half went, I don't know. They must have done the same as me, double back, same way. The other half disappeared. That was at that time when they were infantry were like that. You know, they were they were lads who'd been through right a bit with me. They had a belly full of that. And I think the first real fun. A lot of them used to disappear. But that was one of the worst things with Shimano. One of my worst experiences with Shimano, anyway. But I never got hit. I never wounded or nothing.
Now, after that, you asked, I mean, what do you think you should have done? Because I know you weren't happy with what you'd done there.
That was it. Things what weren't working out.
What do you think you should have done?
I reckoned after that experience, I thought, well, I can look after myself better as a private. It's no good me being a corporal and I can't control these folks. Such as that. I'm in a bloody spot. Looking after myself, and I'm only looking after them. She said, I'm going to be a private, and I'll know what I'm doing for me. It's self-preservation. So I asked to revert the rank.
Right back to private.
Right back to private.
That was actually while you were in the Shimano village.
No, we had got out. This was after Shimano. We did another two or three trips out. Different ways. When we first.
Do you remember them?
It was before the patrol I'm talking about, where we'd done a trip round the front of this place, out of where we were, where the cellar was. They were more ready than anything to find out the ground, and there were stacks of YLI lying there. This was shortly after we had been there. The corridors had been there before us. And they had a lot of them in there. They had a real lot. They lost a lot of men. Between Shimano and Cherry Hill, which is next hill up, and they were lying all over the place. A lot of Cherries as well, mind. But as many corridors as there was Cherries. It's a very confusing sort of thing that, you know. Difficult for to realise what was happening when and why, and especially why and how. Shimano.
And
I don't remember getting moved. I think it was that outfit, the second fit, Forrester's walked in front of us eventually. I never got up that hill where that black cross was, Never got up there. We pulled out the Shimano to a rest area, I'm nearly sure. We were out a few days, rest and recuperation and reinforcing.
And that's when you asked to go down, back down?
I asked for the revert to pass.
And did they let you?
They let me with the struggle. They didn't want to. But, I think it was the best thing. I prefer to learn from scratch. You know, it didn't seem to me sensible for to find out how to be an infantryman from scratch. Never mind about starting halfway up. Which.
What did you think about all these chaps disappearing? I mean.
I didn't like it. I think it wasn't the Shimano thing, it was another time with it. Whether that was after Shimano, it must have been after Shimano, but we were moving, we pulled out, we had a rest, we moved forward again. I hadn't applied for the director right there. We moved forward, but I know we have stopped and said, dig in, we're going to be here temporary. You know, just dig us a little bit shelter, that's all. And we're moving into attack in about 3 hours or something. You can get your heads down and get a rest. There was no need. There was someone in front of us. We were moving through them. There was no need for us to defend ourselves. I was lying there a bit and then I came to the move off. And there was only 3 of us. It was me in the section. Brain section lad and the brain gunner. The rest had disappeared. That's all the section I had. So where they went, I don't know to this day. But I think that was when I said that enough of this, you know, it's no good. No good, make me a corporal. And I'm going to be the same as them, I'll look after me. Not that I wanted to chase away the work, I wanted someone else to have that responsibility. I didn't want to have to have charge of a bunch of blokes that I couldn't trust. I'd sooner be on the road myself and know that he could trust me. Work with someone who was going to be a team.
Now the next thing, you were made a Lance Corporal quite soon though, even though you...
Quite a way after.
Oh. Mm. Then
I went in as a private and got wounded. So it must have been after that, after I reverted, it must have been a second rest period or something. Like I say, you mix them all up, you're in and out, in and out.
Well, I think the next big thing you remember is probably this attack on Serravalle.
That's where they got wounded, yeah.
Do you want to tell us that now? How long after, I'm not quite sure how long after Germana that is, or?
It wasn't very long, a few days, a week maybe or something. And that was a move forward. That was in that particular area, I think, where, no, it couldn't have been, not the brandy ones. I had none of them. But anyway, I was still in Frank's platoon as a private then, and there was only about 20 of us, I think, in the platoon left. When we moved forward that time, we were moving in file up this road, and we came under fire from the village on the top of the road. Everybody hit the deck, go straight away. We pulled back down the hill, and then there was only about 12 of us left because of a few hit on the hill then, on the road. We pulled back there, reorganized, and we were moving forward for to take farmhouses to the right side of the village.
Are these what you called before the three white houses?
Yeah. That was a place where, in the distance, you could see the peaks of San Marino. You could see that, being in Italy, this is when I first knew where San Marino was then, really. You could recognize easily the three great peaks, and that was San Marino itself. It wasn't part of it. It is part of Italy, but it's its own place. And it was there, that was not part of Serravalle. We will move forward under these farmhouses, and we formed up in line. We headed up the hill, open field, for these farmhouses, and the platoon sergeant passed me, and as he passed me...
Who was that? Sorry.
No, what was his
name? Was it Bousfield or...?
Bousfield.
And he passed you and he said...
Platoon commander, I've been hit. I'm going back. Frank Bousfield. I never saw him anymore. Frank Bousfield.
Where'd he been hit? Where'd he been hit?
I didn't see anybody had been hit, so I don't really know. But whether he had or whether he hadn't, not for me to say, I don't know. But he must have been. Well, I don't know. I couldn't express an opinion, but anyway, he came back over.
So how many of you were there left?
When the firing really started heavy, we moved up. We were within 50 yards of these white houses. And there wasn't many left around there then. I don't see what's happened to them, but the section corporal who was in charge of the red, He had a Tommy gun. He was standing against a tree. He was standing up. I was lying down with the rifle. I was seeing Frank 10 yards in front of me. He was in front, platoon commander, and he was in front. And I saw that just the section corporal put a mark across the head, just sort of flashed like that, red. goes downhill like, when he started crawling away, so I knew he was all right. I looked up and Frank still moving forward, so I jumped up to follow Frank, and they started walking then. And I shouted to Frank, I said, Frank, there's only the two of us. Because I looked around there and I couldn't see no one else, you know. Frank, there's only the two of us. But he couldn't hear me, you know, walking restarted. And he got down a burnt haystack, that's what he was behind. I can remember that, because I thought that's pretty sweet, I'm not going to stop now. You know, he burned straw, and there's bang, 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 bits of stuff flying all over, and that's the last thing I remember for long enough. When I came to, and I was lying there, no sign of Frank, no sign of nobody, but it was quiet.
What have you been hit by?
Well, I didn't know it at the time, but it was mortar fragments.
So there was mortars. Were you under any other fire at the time?
As far as I know, it was just mortars.
What about machine gun fire?
There hadn't been machine gun fire going on.
Earlier?
Earlier, yeah. But I think he had pulled back then, and they must have had they had the mortars lined up on particular spots, you know.
Registered?
Fixed targets. Switched.
So there weren't any more Germans in the White Houses? Or you didn't know?
We didn't know if he was still occupied or anything.
So you woke up and you couldn't see anybody. What state were you in?
The state of British shock. And I was sore. I had no idea where I was. And really, you know, and I looked round and realised it. Said, well, I looked round and I could see those three peaks of San Marino. So I knew which way I had came. I knew which way I had to go to get back. But I hadn't really sorted myself out. I can remember I was running along this pretty grapevine. There were the other grapevines in lines, you know, along the field. I was running along this grapevine. I looked at the next grapevine and there's three jellies running along the same way as me. The one with the big spandau on his back, another one with Drake with the pretty the belts, ammunition belts, you know. But well, this is a long pretty way, so I turned around and went back. I said, no good running the same way as them, and they must have been running from those farmhouses.
Were you actually wounded? Had you actually been wounded?
I had been, but I didn't realise just what was what then. I knew I was pretty sore. And I knew I was in a pretty hole, I was on my own. And I think that's when I looked round and I seen the peaks. I says, that's where the battalion was. So that's where I came from. That's the way to go back to. But before I got that far, there was a three tanks come over the hill. But they were our tanks. Sherman's. They just start lowering the guns like that. And I'd look and say, not me. There was a hole under the grapevines, jellies, it was a jelly trench. I would straighten that hole. It must be panic as much as anything, you know, because of our own tanks. Of course, when I got sorted out and realised our own tanks were sore, that's okay. But when I saw those guns coming down like I got out that hole and I headed back towards where I expected our troops to be. And I came across C Company. I hadn't gone very far, maybe 100 yards or so, and I came across C Company. And by that time I was shattered, of course. And they were resting, they were laid down in it. It was a building of some kind, I just forget what. But anyway, I got down with them. And I couldn't have moved from there, not if I'd wanted to. Now, lying there, I must have started moaning or something because one of the lads says, yeah, this bloke's wounded. So he didn't know me. I was A Company, and they were C Company. And that's when they got the medical order. It's like they had a look at me, pulled me pretty short off, and had a pretty hole in the back there, you know.
Possibly his spine.
Knocked about. I don't know what he'd done, but they wrapped me up and he fettied me up. I remember being on a stretcher, on a grain carrier, going down the hill. That's about it. And I went out. We went past HQ. And then we had a little bit of a ride down.
Did you see Johnson again? Where'd Johnson gone?
It was further down where I met Frank again. We, like I said, they picked us up. They took us down in a grain carrier. Now, this must have been back to Westland by that time, because had been operated on. And the I was right back to our MOs anyway, and maybe a bit further back than that for all I know, because they dug them up the shop and I called me back and slapped a big bandage on, wrong with. And we went then on grain carriers again, a bit further down, where we stopped, and they were feeding us. And Frank came feed then, he had a bandage from his pretty head. And where the hell have you got to, Tom? He said, what happened to you? He was going to play air with me. I said, have a look at this work, Frank. Oh, I didn't know if you'd never... I turned over the door. Oh, Christ, he says. I didn't know. So we had a bit chat, and he said he wasn't too bad. He'd had a knock on the head or something. And I never saw him anymore after that. I was carried off down and I went into a British military hospital somewhere. First, we went on a ship. I went on a... What do you call them? A Red Cross.
Hospital ship.
And I wouldn't know where that was. I think it was around Barrier somewhere. It went down. But I remember getting a farm there. So they were ferrying us down. And I think it was in jeeps at one time. And with them ripping my shirt off, there's one of the lads, he had got me a grey pullover, a civvy one from somewhere. And because it was the weather was pretty terrible then. It was wet, it was pretty muddy, the wind was blowing. And I was half naked, just a little bandage on the top. And he got me this grey pullover and I put it on. And going down through the villages, they must have thought I were a jelly, because everybody hissing and spitting and but anyway, we got away down there. They were carting us on stretchers. Must have been onto the ship, and there was a Red Cross woman standing at the bottom of the gangway. And she was giving us, as it turned out, I found out there, there was a toothpaste, a toothbrush, and a packet of fag. I grabbed the fags, had the packet open. By the time I got to the top of the gang flag, it was a Matt Lowe standing there. He was a light mate. And he did. And I'd never forget that fag. I never smoked, for God knows how long, And nobody had any, because we were all in the same boat. We pulled out the line. But that was there. I finished up away down in BMH somewhere. I don't really know where, but it was southern Italy.
And how did your wound, how was the treatment? Did you get better soon?
Oh, I wasn't no bother at all. They sewed me up because of the, I must have been patched up further up, I didn't know. Went in there, they changed the dressings and such. Whether they sewed me up again or what, I don't know. But in fact, I think they did, because I can remember being put out. They gave me a... They put me out, they cut me away, so they dead me on a stretcher.
Had it done much damage, the shrapnel on your back?
Really, not a lot, as it happened. It was practically a fresh one, but it must have hit the bone or something, right in there, because I still get pains nowadays with that at times. But then it was really, really sore, But I've got a little pieces that didn't matter. Tiny little bits. I got a twist out of there. It was later on.
Had your forefinger?
Yeah. When I came out of VMH, I was discharged and sent off to a target camp, fit for action again, and we were travelling up and down Italy trying to get back to the battalion. Now, I was in one of the transit camps, and this finger, I could feel it, I was very sore, and I couldn't find nothing wrong with it. And I got to the stage where I couldn't use knife and fork with it, you know. And then there's a little lump came on the side there. I went in the ablutions one morning, wash and shave. This lump's a bit bigger, it was blue. I give it a shove, and the lump of metal flew out. A tiny little bit, like less than a match head, you know. And that's what it was. There's bits of pieces like that, various places. I had them at different times, but that was the one that made the difference. And that finger ached for years in the cold weather. Whenever the weather was cold, it's not so bad nowadays, but when I was working in cold water or anything, that finger was terrible. And I keep suffering it.
So you were going around transit camps. You were pretty well. How long were you off? Were you sick, do you reckon?
Ooh. I think it'll be about 3 weeks in the BMH, and I were right enough by then. But I spent longer running up and down Italy trying to get back to the battalion in transit camps, because you went in bunches, you know, and you might spend over the night on a railway station waiting for the next train, sleeping on the platform or something. And then you got on that train and they took you somewhere else. You lived on the train. They were like freight cars, you know. And you'd travel up there, you'd stop off somewhere and get a meal, and a bit further, and then into another transit camp. You'd lie around that transit camp for a fortnight or so, and then off to another transit camp on the train. And eventually, I went up and down Italy, and then eventually across to Greece, and met the battalion for quite a while on the boat like that. Yeah,
were you surprised to find they'd gone to Greece?
Yeah, I had no idea where they were, and nobody could tell me, because we didn't get to know them.
I mean, did you regard that as good news?
Well, it made no difference. I knew there was trouble in Greece. We had heard that there was fighting in Greece then. Although the jelly had pulled out of Greece, we'd heard there was fighting, but we didn't know what. And it didn't affect us. We were Muxi. I was Muxi private then anyway. So it made no odds to me as long as I was soldier.
Now, you joined them round about January.
Must have been, because I can remember we had Christmas in the transit camp. That would be Christmas
44.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighting had largely ended when you got back to your company, A company.
When I got back to Greece, I know we travelled over. It wasn't a proper troop carrier or anything, you know. It was just a bunch of us that shoved us on this boat, and we went. We landed at Athens somewhere and got back there. Well, all the trouble was over. But I did hear then that Frank had been killed. Well, he must have got back to the battalion long before me. He had been in action around the outskirts of Athens, and he had been killed then. Frank, a Greek sniper, that's what I was told anyway. But Frank, you know, he was a commander, but he had trouble. He grew a great big ginger moustache. He was a gingerly fella, and he had the appearance of being a leader. Now they were the ones he picked out. So I can quite imagine him being at the front, which he always was, going up there with a section of a platoon or whatever, and the way the Greeks were then, the partisans, they picked them out straight away. his main target. And apparently he was. Trouble is, it was in the back I did here. And where he got past. And then shot him. And so they get away now.